You're working with John on, we're getting that on the,
it's on the web.
It's on the web? John?
Yep.
Does everyone know where to look?
No, probably not. Okay, so what it is, I read it. Use my name.com, johnmeister.com, and then I have a link that goes directly to it.
Okay, so if you want to, I'm going to pray, and then you can tell the people how to get you.
Okay, sounds good. I'll see you in a final mark.
Okay. And then there's a way for them to get straight to it from
yeah,
there?
Yeah, when you go right to it. I can hook it up to the projector if you want. I got it on. I got it right here. It's all the files. So you just attach it right onto that.
If we do that, and
yeah, it won't hurt any.
Oh, you don't know this class.
Oh. There you go. We'll just leave that up for a second.
Okay, this, if you want to find out the classes that you've missed, and each week is built upon the previous week, you can go here to John Meister, and then you can go down and pick the class that you can listen to that you missed.
And Mark was, Mark, where's Mark? The guy that is up here helping me with this stuff. He's got this all organized and on CDs as well. He gave me 2 years worth of them. There's a 2004 class and 2006. And they're down in these subdirectories. Then what I'll do is I'll get the files from Mark as the rest of this class proceeds. I'll convert them and put them up here. So they'll be up there every week. So if you just go to johnmeister.com, you'll see a link right from the start, so you don't have to remember the whole path.
Can you write that on the board?
Yeah, it's written on the in blue on the side over there.
See right over there?
Mm-hmm. Can't read it because it's too far.
Want to turn the light on? That help?
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Sweet.
So this is what it'll look like when you come right to the site, and there's a link right underneath here to bring you to it, so they don't have to try to write the full path down. Okay.
We're trying to get organized, eh?
Yeah.
Is this a little better, sitting up instead of sitting down? Not for me.
Well, you can see everybody?
No, everyone can see me. Last week, I mean, you guys would not believe it. I feel better tonight after 2 doses of chemotherapy than I did last week when my stomach went to Mexico. Man, went to the Rio Grande. So if you do not believe in spiritual warfare, you better wake up. Satan does not want me alive, and he does not want you to get this information. Amen? Hey, Slick, how you doing, bro?
How you doing?
Think going good?
I'm hanging tough, though.
Great. Are you coming to class tonight or are you just dropping by?
I dropped grandbaby by.
Oh, excellent. All righty. Good to see you. You guys have a good Sunday?
Yeah.
I was just talking to this one particular couple. Had a good Sunday?
You were in rare form.
So, I heard that I heard your son-in-law was in rare form.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool.
That was a praise miracle, yes.
Isn't it? Just awesome what God can do in spite of us, right? Mm-hmm. Well, guys, are you guys ready?
Yeah.
A lot of information we got to deal with tonight. And we want to get into the tribulation period so we can get down that road of getting more confused. I promise you that any question is open. Don't think twice about it. And if I don't know the answer, we'll find it out together. But more than likely, you'll never know I don't know the answer. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity we have to get together. Thank you for moving me out of the way. Have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. And may we learn together, Father, because it is about you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the study of eschatology. Thank you that we will know more when we leave than we did when we came. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say. All right. Any questions? Everybody understand this whole timeline? Anyone here tonight that wasn't here last week? Okay. Too bad. I'm not a very sensitive fellow. So. Okay, we walked all the way through the age. We walked through the church age, which is what we're in right now, the dispensation that we're in. We're coming to the end of the church age. There's nothing that has to happen as far as prophecy has to take place in order for what we call pre-trib rapture to take place. Okay? The most important thing you got to remember is that the temple, which everyone is saying must be built before tribulation, which is not true, the temple must be built and the sacrificial system established by the third and a half year of the tribulation period. And that would be even more of a devastation if you think about it, if it is just finished. The establishment of the sacrificial system began. They got all the tools and everything they're making right now. They're looking for the red heifer right now. And you can imagine what would take place when they've just beginning to get all that going and just starting, and the Antichrist walks in and put his picture up and takes over for worship. Jewish nation then would know we are in serious trouble. All righty? So tonight, we are here. End of the church age that just has taken place. There are two ages in the Bible that did not have a time period, did not have a limit. What are they? The church age, of course, which we're in now. Not the Antediluvian period, it had a time limit. The time of Methuselah. That was the grace period. David! How are you, you dog?
Long ways on a horse.
How you like that traffic out there, Dave? Is that like Montana?
I never seen so many people in my life. Joel said it was good.
Yeah,
great. There's seats over here. Oh, you get out of here if you don't like it. I'm about sitting over there. Yeah, brothers. Grab a seat over there.
No, I don't want to go over there. You go there.
Yeah, because you can't see over there, bro. Just grab a chair and sit there, Dan. Yeah, so that will help. We always keep the bad students up front. The major difference that we have when we're looking at the tribulation period is how many people are confused about what the Bible has to say instead of what tradition says, what churches say, what denomination says, what other pastors say. The thing we want to stick with tonight is what the Bible has to say. Now between the pages, those two pages of the full timeline of man, which is here, and dealing with the tribulation period, which we're going to have to go to, is absolutely amazing. I got to skip a lot of slides to get to where you are. Okay? So I want you guys to know.
Play as time goes by.
I want you guys to know that you are, we're skipping a lot of material so that we will not spend the whole time on eschatology in this class. And once we get through with another probably 2 weeks at the most, we'll go back to studying the beginning of the word at the beginning of the class that we usually start the class on. So in order for us to do as good of a choice as we can to fill you in on enough information where you can say, okay, I got a good all-around picture of future events. We're going to do, you know, last week, this week, 2 weeks, and then we're going to do a week on how to study the Bible. Okay? And then we're going to go back to all the meat and potatoes, starting with the Word and why the Word is so important. What's the only thing that's true about God? What God said is true about Him. What do we find out what God has said about Him? In the Word. Anything else is what? What?
Idolatry.
Get this in your mind. Do not let anyone else tell you anything that is different. Anything that's not said in the Word that anyone else is teaching you is idolatry. It is false teaching. I don't care how good it sounds. I don't care how good it looks. If it does not back up by the Word, it is a lie. It is false doctrine, nothing but tradition. Pretty simple? All right, 7 years of tribulation. Can anyone tell me what the 7 years of tribulation is according to the Bible? Where does that fall in the Bible? What is it? Post-church? Absolutely post-church. But what do we find out about the 70th week of Daniel in the Bible? Daniel. Daniel in Revelation. It is the 70th week of Daniel. 70th. When Daniel came to God, he did not ask God, what is your future? He asked God, what is your future for the Jews? Thus, there was a break between God's plan to the millennial period from the time Daniel gave his prophecy. 70 sevens. And between the 69th seven and the 70th seven was the church age. That's why after 483 years, the wise men from Persia knew that the Messiah was on the earth. How would you like to be taught so well by a foreign person? That's why Daniel survived the lion's den. You understand that, right? That's why John survived being tarred, feathered, and sent on exile. Because he still had the rest of the Bible to write. All others was martyred and killed. John wasn't, because God was not through writing the New Testament yet. So we are now in the 70th, what? 70th week of Daniel. Church age has ceased. We are now totally different than ever before. We are off the earth, getting ready for a party. If we have time and you have some questions, you can ask, what is Christians doing during this time? If you have any strength left from learning what's going on the earth at this time. There's one thing you would need to know. We just celebrated the Super Bowl. if that's what you can call a Super Bowl. It is a big drunk going on in Louisiana right now. But there's going to be another Super Bowl one day. It's called Armageddon. And that's one Super Bowl you don't want to be in. They are making things now, right now, preparing for Armageddon. Buzzards are having 2 or 3 eggs. Never before in the history does condors have 2 or 3 eggs. What's the purpose of condors, according to tribulation? Clean up all the flesh. Whoa! What about the dragons, the spitting fire? He's talking about a revelation. How would you like to try to explain an F-20 fighter jet in John's day? Man, you should have seen this jet. It was unbelievable.
What's a jet?
A dragon that shoots fire. Oh, what's a dragon? So he had to take language of his day and explain it in the revelation. That's why revelation is so hard to understand. Blood up to the horse's brow. Perfect valley to fill up with blood. Armageddon. I tell you what Napoleon said when he first saw it. Standing on the Megadon. Looked across the valley and says, what a perfect place for the final battle of all mankind. Quoting scripture. You guys look like you're ready to get into the 70th week of Daniel. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I have a question.
Already? This is absolutely amazing. I like you already.
Well, I just finished reading the book of Daniel. And the question I have is, I was looking, where does Daniel ask about the future of the Jews?
Is what is your future? He was talking about his people. That's when God gave him the prophecy. He wasn't asking for the future of all the people. He's dealing with just the Jews.
That was just before which prophecy?
It would be, well, I mean, it's the whole aspect of 7 through 9, right?
Yeah, Daniel prayed for 30 days.
And then the angel was held up for 21, bringing him the message.
Because he's trying to remember what happened in Jeremiah. Jeremiah said that the people's captivity is going to be 70 years. And Daniel realized it had been about that long and began praying. And there's that big spiritual battle that has to tell us about with the angels. And then the prophecy of the 70 weeks came in Daniel 9, 24 through 27.
Okay.
You missed that part. You had to just go back and you can see it. It's very clear once you know what you're looking for.
So it's not connected to the 70 years before Cyrus came and led them back. It's a different thing.
Oh, it's 70 years and 70 years is way different. 70 years is 70 years. The 70th week of Daniel is 490 years. Okay. So Daniel gave a prophecy 490 years and he said the Messiah basically was going to be on the earth for 483. That's why the Magi from Persia was the one that was out looking for the Messiah.
Because that's where all this happened, when he was in Persia.
When they looked at the time limit of Daniel's prophecy and the year that they was in, they go, oh, the Messiah should be on earth now. So they started their journey. And that they started the journey before they saw the star in the sky. They wouldn't have been able to see the star in the sky if they weren't obedient to the word. We want to see signs first and then be obedient.
Mm-hmm. I'll look through this later.
No problem. There's no what? What kind of question? There's no dumb question. Very good. There's about 30 other people wanted to ask the same question. Shame on you. How do we know that the tribulation is starting? Church is removed. The Holy Spirit is removed. The restrainer. The Antichrist cannot be revealed until the Holy Spirit is pulled out of here.
How is that going to happen?
How is what going to happen?
He's pulled out.
He's going to say bye.
No, the church
is pulled. He's going to say bye. Yep, the Holy Spirit is going to leave and all of us going with it. It's going to be quick. It's going to be, you're not going to be sitting around going, well, tomorrow, you know, I guess we're going to leave.
So it's the rapture.
There we go. It's the rapture. That's how we leave. Isn't that going to be something? Do your rapture drills. You guys practice your rapture drills? Practice, you know, loose shoes and jumping out of your shoes. Do like I do, lay your clothes out, like you're sitting in a chair and you just left, and so your family get up in the morning and go, oh. Most of my family was pagan, they're still here. I mean, yeah, it's you know how unscientific rapture is going to be? I mean, can you have the slightest idea how unscientific rapture is going to be? And we've said already, we've already established that when the church is removed, Satan has to have an explanation for why all these people is gone.
Yeah, aliens.
I said it years ago, UFOs is the best way to explain it. Everyone looked at me like I was crazy, and then Hal Lindsey came along, wrote a book, and made millions of dollars.
Well, you missed it.
Who's getting smart over here? But there's nothing in the scripture talked about all those folks disappearing. And remember, Left Behind series is wrong. That's a major theological flaw in that.
Where did they get their ideas?
Sounds good, doesn't it? And it's something that people would like to hear, that you can have a second chance. People have also been taught that the people that's in hell, Christ is going to go down and preach for 3 days. You know, when he was crucified and went down to hell, he went down for 3 days and gave everyone a chance to accept it. And then they came up with the whole philosophy that he went down and he turned himself over and the demons beat him for 3 days. Remember all that? Oh, all the junk that went on. I mean, who would turn down Christ after being in the land of Sheol for 1,000 years or so? If he come down to preach and say you can repent. Would there be anyone left? And if they were, they deserve to be burned. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
The false teaching goes along because it's appealing to the ear. Man wants to know what man wants to know, and man wants to do what man wants to do, and man wants to do it how man wants to do it. But God did not ask man their opinion. So the first thing that's going to happen is God's going to pull the Holy Spirit and the restrainer out of here. And it says that God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And if the Holy Spirit is pulled out of here, folks, at the beginning of rapture, it is a flat out lie to leave Christians here. Common sense ought to tell us that mid-trib and post-trib has no theological sense to it. We would have to be left without the Holy Spirit in us. If it was only for a day, he would still have to leave us. Anyone understand the whole aspect? When we get into teaching here tonight on eternal life, it's going to blow your mind why you can't lose it. If you can lose your salvation, you can't get it until you die. Did you know that? If it is a possibility of losing your salvation, you have to go against the Bible, and you can't get it until the day you die. Eternal life is not living forever. I'm sorry. Eternal life is knowing God, and that takes forever. John. chapter 17. Of course, you all know that. That is the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 7 is the disciples' prayer. Major difference. Come on, Pastor. Don't get fired up. So the first step is the Holy Spirit's pulled out. Second step is the church is pulled out with it. Only thing that fits Scripture is no man knows the hour or the time, must be pre-trib. Pre-trib. Pre-before the tribulation. Okay? According to mid-tribbers, when does the tribulation take place according to the mid-trib, in the middle of the tribulation, the 3.5 years during the tribulation period? When does that take place? Where did they get that idea?
Is that from the two witnesses?
When the two witnesses stand up. Do you know how unscientific that's going to be? God is going to protect the two witnesses, the 144,000 two witnesses, until the 3.5 years, and then he's going to allow them to be killed. Now, who are the two witnesses? What? Not all at once. Now, don't get confused. Who? Enoch and Elijah, I believe. They are only two up until the judgment that has not submitted to Hebrews 9. I think it's Hebrews 9:27. Isn't that the verse? It's appointed for every man to die once. Lazarus and a couple others died twice because Christ raised them. He didn't say, you know, you couldn't die more than once. He said you just need to die at least once. And Enoch and Elijah is the only one that has not submitted to that. Question for you. Alright? Someone give me a good answer. If you could not go to heaven until the Lamb of God died, where did Enoch and Elijah go?
Abraham's
bosom.
Is that the same as paradise?
Same as paradise before Christ died. Took him captivity. Captivity captive, Ephesians chapter 4. That's something to think about, isn't it? Get pulled off the earth just to go and wait for Christ to die on the cross, the Lamb of God. Man! Woo! And then to know you still got to come back to earth to die. Because you haven't yet. So anyone that tells you it's Elijah and Moses because they was on the transfiguration got it a little mixed up. Okay?
I've got a question.
Yes, ma'am.
So when the rapture bus takes us away, mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit leaves with us.
Mm-hmm. No, we leave with him.
Yeah. Obviously, yeah.
Right.
But during that 7-year period, there are people that can come to know Christ.
Why? Everyone hear the question?
Yeah.
She says, the Holy Spirit's going to leave. Church is going to be pulled out of here. But there's going to be people that's going to come to know Christ. Why?
Well,
and how?
You were saying last week that you have the 1,000-year millennium reign after...
The 7 years.
Correct. So there's got to be somebody during the 7 years...
Oh, it's going to be a bunch.
...that go into the millennium period, but that
as believers.
As believers. So
the only people going into the millennium period is going to be Christians. There'll be no non-believers making it into the millennial kingdom.
So did they become believers during the tribulation?
During the tribulation.
So the Holy Spirit then would have to come down.
Yes.
For each individual. So the
no. The Holy Spirit is going to come back. And the first thing he is going to do is save 144,000.
Save 144,000 that weren't raptured?
Because they weren't believers. Right? Everyone he's going to save has to be non-believers.
Mm-hmm.
140,000 not only Jews, they're men. And they're virgins. 12,000 from each tribe. 12,000 Jewish virgin men.
So the next question, are there that many alive?
Evidently God saved them. He had no problem raising. A question I got for you right here: when this takes place, this rapture takes place, where God pulls the Holy Spirit out of here, then pulls the church out of here. Why no big issue?
What do you mean?
There's nothing in the Bible that says there's any major uproar about it.
Well, that's what you were saying, that there's so much blind saucer, people disappearing, that new
UFOs. Well, remember, we talked about that, but we also talked about one major thing. Why did God pull Christians off the earth at that time? It's going to be a great deception. The great deception is going to take place. And anyone that has ever heard the gospel at this time will not be able to be saved.
Prior to the rapture.
Anyone that's heard the gospel will not be able to be saved after rapture takes place during those 7 years.
Are you talking about those that have heard the word and literally rejected it?
If they've heard the word and didn't accept it, they rejected it.
Okay. So if they've heard the word and they believe in God, believe in Christ, but they aren't living their
matter. There's no such thing as accepting and not walking with God. If you have accepted Christ, you're gonna be raptured. You'll be gone. Even the most immature. Even the most immature. Okay. Even the most immature, if you are in Christ covered by his blood, you will be wrapped. You will be pulled out. Okay.
And looking forward to completing your dream, it's time you will call me Master.
You will not be returned. You will be destroyed.
Luke, I am your father.
No.
I remember when Star Trek first came out. That's years ago, isn't it? When Star Wars first came out, the first thing, man, I was a youth pastor at Westminster Chapel, and the kids went down. I mean, it was like we was in line all night. And they had the cameras out there and TV, and they came up, and we was like third or fourth in line. And they asked me, says, "Why are you in line?" I said, "See Darth Vader." I said, "Why?" I says, "He's black." Back in the day, you didn't see many brothers, you know. We was either pimps, or we were stepping Fletchings. Vader changed it, baby. "Do you think you've been treated unfairly?" Now, we got to understand now that these 7 years are going to be broken down into 3.5 years. First 3.5 years is going to be Satan's time. It's going to be Satan's day. Second 3.5 years is going to be God's day. Folks, you have never seen judgment like the last 3.5 years of tribulation. This isn't about man. This isn't about anything except God's wrath being poured out. That's why the church is removed. Church is not for wrath. Now, why would anyone think that if this is the judgment of God pouring out his wrath, why would he do it on his bride? At best, you have to believe mid-trip. That's at best. But at best, lies to the Bible. Because no one knows the time or the hour. And it probably is a pretty good giveaway in Revelation chapter 11 when the two witnesses stand back up after 3 days. That ought to give you just a little hint. If you're a Christian, they just died. We got 3 days. Buy a 3.5 year bond. It's going to mature out when we come back. Don't make sense. Mid-trib, post-trib, common sense, Christian, believing the Bible, does not make any common sense. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care what anyone teaches. I don't care what anyone tries to convince you of. Pre-trib is the only thing that can be theologically correct. Holy Spirit pulled out. Church is pulled out. Can anyone tell me why does the dead in Christ rise first? Oh, that's pretty heavy. Says it in the Bible. They got at least 6 more feet to go.
So if people are in Denver, they leave a little later than that because they're so high up.
Do we see them going by?
Oh, we're caught up in the twinkling of an eye, baby. It's going to be quick. How would you like everybody, every molecule, every aspect, every cell of every body, not everybody, but every body, everybody's body, is going to be put back together since the beginning of time?
Even the cremated one.
Even the cremated one. Even the one that's been eaten by sharks and pooped in the ocean. Did I say that? This is a Christian group too, isn't it? I just want to ask you a question, guy. How awesome of a God do we have that knows what everybody's body is to put it back together for rapture? And how many of you are worried that he's going to remember your last prayer? He's going to forget what you need, even if you praise him so much in your prayers that you forget to ask him what you need. You know what? It's a lot better if we would praise him and forget what we want. He tells in Matthew 6, he already knows what you need before you ask. Won't you forget you sometime? No, not me. I'm too important to forget. We kind of dealt with that a little bit on Sunday, didn't we? Don't think of yourself as what? Too highly. God has never said raise your thought of yourself. Because you already think you're too important. Man, that hurts. I don't know about you, but that hurts. And it's coming from God. So you can't call him a lie. God, that ain't the truth. Oh, let me go back to the creation board. I made a mistake with you. Woo! Man, what a God we have, guys.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure, you betcha.
So, when we all pray for you collectively, he doesn't get annoyed with us that we're all just thinking about you and wanting you to get well? I mean,
I certainly don't.
But I mean, how do you, you know what I mean? Like, how do you pick and choose?
Think of others is more important than yourself.
Okay, so as long as it's...
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Think of others being more important than yourself. And he says, if anything is not promised, there's two types of prayers. Let's not get off, but there's two types of prayers that God wants us to have. Something that God has promised, guys, don't pray it more than once. You know that, right? If God has promised it, you do not pray it over and over again. That's lack of faith. You pray it, you find the promise, you thank God for the promise, you pray it once and you forget it. That's trust. If it's not promised, he did not promise that he's going to save everybody in your family. You pray over and over and over again, asking him to come through until he says yes, no, wait. If God says yes, forget it. If he says no, you better forget it. If he said wait, don't ask again. And he will let you know which is true. It's something you don't have to worry about.
You can praise God for the promise that he's given you in prayer, though.
There's a big difference between asking and praising, isn't it? I like to cheat. I like to pretend like I'm praising and still be asking. Am I the only one that does that? I'm sorry, ma'am, but I don't know about the rest of them, but I can be one selfish creature. Right in the middle of trying to be controlled by the Spirit of God, I can take over. Anyone else? Got that? Got that tendency? All right. Got the rule of the church and removal of the restrainer. Why does the Holy Spirit have to be removed now? That's murmuring. I need answers, not murmuring.
Satan takes away, then he takes
over. Satan can't rule while the church is here. The deception.
We got the great deception. That's going to happen just because God's going to lie. Yes, ma'am. So the Antichrist can be revealed. In other words, right now, guys, do you know the Antichrist can be on the earth? And probably is. There is a great possibility he's on the earth. That's scary enough thought for you. A lot of people thought it was Kissinger. Then they thought it was Kennedy. Now they think it's Obama.
What, he's not God?
Are you asking him or me? I saw a hand, right? Someone had a hand? Question?
Yeah, why do they call him the restrainer here instead of the Holy Spirit?
That's who he is.
I understand that. But
he's restraining the Antichrist from being revealed. He restrained evil. Wouldn't that be a good name for him? He restrains evil in us, even as believers, because he gives us the power not to sin. With a cold chill.
Question. My brain sort of explodes with some of this. Now, the Holy Spirit is God.
Holy Spirit is God.
Now this, and so he's omnipresent.
He is omnipresent.
Now, when he's removed, it's his restraining office that's removed. Not if he's God, he would be there.
He's omnipresent. It'd be almost. Remember that question I asked last week? How can God still be God and not be in hell?
Same question.
Same one, huh?
Well, it's basically he's not here as the restrainer.
Means he just limits what he does.
Yeah.
Not cease to be who he is.
Exactly.
Yes. Does that help?
Yeah. It's sort of like when Jesus came to earth that he limited himself in some of the things that he did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That makes sense.
Thank you. Sure helps a lot when it just starts falling into place, doesn't it? We know there's going to be a problem when the Antichrist is revealed. And the first thing he's going to do is he's going to go and make covenant with God's people, Israel. Right to the point, man. The unholy Trinity job is to substitute everything the Holy Trinity does. Tries to take God's place. Read about that in Daniel. Two witnesses begin to minister. Now, it really doesn't say right out. But I think the two witnesses are going to have a great deal to do with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is going to come right back after the Antichrist is revealed. Okay? It's not like it's going to be gone for weeks. It's going to be pretty quick. He's going to move. He's going to take the church with him. Now, this is not the second coming of Christ. Don't get them mixed up. This is, we're going to be met in the air. Rapture, pull all our bodies together, give us our new bodies. It's going to be immediate. Then he's going to come back with the two witnesses, and he's going to save the 144,000. Jehovah's Witness is going to be a little upset. You know, they had a good thing going until they went over 144,000. All of a sudden they said, well, they won't make it in the kingdom. They still have to live down here on earth. Anyone is going to be left out of 144,000. How would you like to be that? Hmm? First thing going to happen is Antichrist is going to start conquering. That's why Israel thinks he's going to have peace for three and a half years. Because he's going to have a covenant with Israel. Antichrist is going to start whipping up on the earth. Russia's going to sit back and watch. Gog and Magog is getting ready. Start getting ready for his movements. What do you do during the tribulation period with an army the size of China of 200 million soldiers?
What do you mean with regards to the U.S., United States, or?
The United States ain't going to be a diddly squat
in
these 7 years. We're going to be a blister on a gnat's rear end.
Irrelevant.
If we don't join the right place.
Well, I just know that armies of the north will come down, and I thought that would be China. Oh,
God's got something for them, right?
What's that?
God's got something for them. Only one's going to stop China is God. Mm-hmm. Gog and Magog, I mean, God's got to deal with them. He's going to use Antichrist to deal with one of them. He's going to use natural disaster to deal with the other. Same thing he's going to do when he splits Jerusalem. Woo! Don't make the pastor get excited! God's going to split the mountain! Dead Sea is going to not be dead anymore. And the only way I believe that the whole world's going to move on Israel is because the desert's going to bloom. Anyone have any idea what that means? The desert is going to bloom. Who said that? Yes, ma'am. You had to hear it before. They're going to find the largest oil supply in the world is sitting in Israel. And even the oil companies know that right now. But no one is going to drill because all the Arab countries would throw them out. Everything that flows, if the lowest place on earth is Israel, everything that's flowing to all of Arab has to flow from where? The lowest place on earth. All the oil on the ground is flowing into Israel. I can't hear you people. And if the Dead Sea is dead because there's no place for the water to go, how much oil do you think has been building up for years under Israel? And it's going to be a natural earthquake that's going to open up that oil supply. What is the only other reason for the whole world to move in on Israel, folks? What, you think it's going to be a spiritual reason? Oh, you are so naive. It's money, money, money. More money, more money, more money. And ain't nothing more money than oil. They can talk about all the wind they want and they are passing it. You can talk about electrical anything, but folks, the bottom line is oil. Yes, ma'am.
What do you think about it blooming just in the last 100 years because of how desolate it was, and now it's just providing fruit?
Only thing you needed
and pine trees
is water, right? Only thing you need is irrigation. It's a perfect climate for everything. Remember when we learned about the natural salted tomatoes? What they did with natural salted tomatoes when we was over there? Do you remember that?
A little bit.
they have learned how to naturally salt tomatoes by growing it down at the Dead Sea. Don't have to add salt to your tomatoes anymore. They are growing, you know, like when you grow cotton, and then you had to dye the cotton to get the different genes and all the different colors. They're growing the colors. No more dye in the cotton. What's that?
In Israel?
In Israel. Anything you need, God has made the land so fertile that you can grow anything you want in Israel. It's the center of the earth. Israel is the center of the earth. Did you know that there was more people killed by wild animals when God turned them loose on invading armies than it was soldiers? Before the Arabs took over Israel, God made it desolate after they took over. But it was forest, it was the most fertile place on the earth. And God turned it to desert by allowing them to take it over. And there was more armies killed by animals than by other soldiers. Because it's God's chosen place. Yebra. Lions, tigers, they had every aspect. Remember when my boy Samson. I mean, he killed what? A lion. David killed bears, he killed lions, tigers. I mean, he protected God's sheep with a slingshot. That's a bad boy right there. He said, I've killed bears, I've killed tigers, I killed Goliath? What's you? He picked up how many stones?
Five.
You know why he picked up five stones? Goliath had four brothers. David was a bad boy, man. And every one of us as Christians are the same way with God on our side. We're just weak, mediocre people that think that we are just nothing. We're awesome with God. So we get back to Revelation, right? $144,000, man, is going to change the world. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. The 144,000, they're men and virgins.
And Jews. 12,000 only for each tribe.
So where are the women?
They're here.
Are they going to go or no?
What you mean, are they going
to
go?
To the millennial period.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. These are just the ones that's going to start witnessing.
Okay.
They're going to be the church, basically, that was pulled out of here. They're going to replace the church to be the witness to lead others to Christ. They will be the ones to be leading men, women, and children to Christ during the tribulation period. And the two witnesses. The two witnesses are going to drive the Antichrist crazy. The 144,000 is just going to drive, because God's going to protect them. If God didn't put can you imagine how quick the Antichrist would kill them if God didn't put protection around them?
Yeah.
They would be dead the day they revealed that they were saved. So you can imagine the type of power God's got to put around and protect them for them to preach. To preach during the time of the greatest wrath of Satan and God in the history of mankind. Yes, ma'am.
Well, then, during that time frame, those who were not raptured, who did not accept Christ, isn't it possible that they will accept Christ?
No.
If they have not heard the gospel.
If they have not heard, they will be able to accept.
But they won't.
They'll be so deceived,
really?
It'll be no possibility for them to accept Christ.
So
and they'll be the ones going to be doing the devil's handiwork. They're going to be the ones that's going to be doing the persecuting, and they're going to be the ones that's going to be used to persecute the 144,000, anyone that comes to know the Lord. I mean, they're just going to be vicious towards the gospel. But you got to understand something. It's because it was their choice.
Yeah. It goes on today. Those that reject.
Yeah,
Yeah. Look at North Korea and what they do to the Christians there.
Yeah. Look at what the Methodists do to the Presbyterians. Did I say that?
No.
Oh, okay. So
where does it say that they were all male and all virgins? I can see here that they're all Jewish. They go
You got 1 Thessalonians, you got Matthew, you got Revelation, you got all. You put them, you know, that's why it's called doctrine. You don't have one verse that says it all. You have to put it all together, put the whole picture together. And I have hopefully done that for you so you don't have to do it tonight. Yes, ma'am.
Can you explain the two witnesses again? I don't really understand.
The two witnesses?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like how they didn't die?
How they didn't die? Okay. When God pulls the church out, there's no Christians on the earth. Okay? You understand that part? Absolutely. Church, anyone that accepted Christ, gone. There's absolutely no spiritual influence on the earth at that particular time. God says he's going to send two witnesses back, and he's going to save 144,000 people that's on the earth that weren't believers. Now, in order for those two witnesses to be sent back, those two witnesses has to die. They're going to be alive for 3.5 years, protected by God, the first 3.5 years, up until Revelation 11 and 12. There's only been two people in the history of mankind since God created Adam and Eve that didn't die. They are the ones that was Enoch and Elijah. God took them off the earth. They were, and then they weren't. God removed them without death. Okay? So I believe that it is to answer those two witnesses who has to come back to die. And he's going to bring back from heaven with him. Okay? And those are the two guys that I believe that has been established by God to come back to be obedient to a verse in the New Testament that says it's appointed for every man to die once until the judgment. Judgment will be rapture and the tribulation period. Okay? So does that help a little bit? Okay. Those are the two witnesses, I believe. And so most people think it's Elijah and Moses, because when Jesus was walking on the earth, he took three of the men with him and went to call the Mount of Transfiguration, and he saw Moses and Elijah. They saw Moses and Elijah. So a lot of people think those is going to be the two witnesses that are going to come back. And I don't. I believe it's only once that never died. It's going to come back. Yes, ma'am. And then I get you no, right here. And then
the gospel going to the ends of the earth so that every year from here, is that during the tribulation then?
What's that? No, I'm sorry.
The gospel being preached to the ends of the earth. Like
everyone have the opportunity to hear. Don't mean they will.
During the tribulation, that doesn't have to take place then before the rapture, obviously.
No, it's gonna be a particular time that God says, okay, that's enough. No. And then it's got to be good enough, because if they have heard, they can't accept. And then the rest of the world will hear during the 7 years. Yes, ma'am.
I guess I'm confused by how we get our new bodies.
Uh-huh. That's a very good question. It is because God's going to take that which is imperfected and make perfected.
So will we recognize each other?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And no doubt.
We won't be married either.
We'll be married.
Not with our spouse.
Thank you very much. That does not mean we won't be married, right?
Well,
who will we be married to?
Christ.
Thank you very much. We will be married.
I meant,
well, maybe
we won't be married to each other, but we will be married. We will become the bride of Christ. You know, God's got to love me to make me his bride. That is one more ugly picture, as far as I'm concerned. What was that? I heard someone about babies.
Oh, will the babies be babies?
Babies are going to be babies born and everything during the tribulation period, in the millennium. And as they're going to be babies born during the tribulation period.
The babies that have died, that don't talk and Will they be in their new bodies?
Well, I think the babies that, all the babies that die as young babies, all the babies that have been aborted, will be adults during the millennial period. All that will be resurrected, aborted babies, will be as adults doing the marriage feast. I think that it's gonna shake the world up.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
So if like a mom aborted a baby, would she know that was her baby?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Oh yeah. Because they're gonna be done during the 7 years, will we judge? Oh yeah. But those tears are going to be wiped away, remember. You're not going to be sitting around moping and going, oh my. You're going to see how the goodness of God overrode our sin. And don't think it's just moms. They're going to be seeing that. Dad's got to see those babies too. They let get aborted. Because it takes two. Baby. I saw a hand. Okay. And are we running out of time?
No.
We are?
No.
Antichrist, Russia is going to be sitting back looking, think everything's going pretty good. Antichrist is going to say, uh-oh, enough's enough. And they're going to kick Russia because the United States ain't got sense enough to do it. You guys know, what was the only general that wanted to go ahead and wipe out Russia?
Patton.
I don't know if that man read the Bible. But he knew, even back during the war, that's who we should kill.
He said an hour later.
Isn't that amazing? And guess what? What we refuse to do, the Antichrist is going to do. Gagi and Magagi. Woo! You got a question? You sure? You look like you guys are really having a good time there. I was going to say, man, everyone needs to know that. Yes, ma'am.
What does Gog and Magog refer to?
It's probably Russia, probably China. The major movements of the world that's going to move on Israel. Yes.
In scripture, doesn't it say that Magog settled around the Caspian mm-hmm. Black Sea? Mm-hmm. And isn't that part of the reason that comes forward, that thinking?
Right. I mean, it's the whole, it is the way of thinking against Israel and God. Mm-hmm. It is secular society, best without God, to fight God. And it's going to be that thinking is going to make the world at Armageddon turn to fight God when he comes back. There's only one way for the whole world to move in on Israel on Armageddon and then to take all of their arm and turn against God. Total suicide. Okay? Israel will build under Antichrist patronage because they think it's going to be sweet. They are going to be living it up for 3.5 years. What a perfect time for them to build a temple. Right? The perfect time. And what a disappointment during that time to get all the things set up, get ready for a sacrificial system, start the sacrificial system as they just finished the temple, and then the Antichrist steps up and says, I don't think so. You're going to worship me. And they're going to say, uh-oh. Boys, we blew it. Got a question?
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. Yeah, I'd be right with you. Yes.
Me?
No, I'd be right with you a second.
Won't the Jews be traumatized during this period of time? Because if you have 144,000 and they start preaching right away, it seems like if there's about 7 million people in Israel right now, mm-hmm. they're going to hear, and they will be awakened if the Holy Spirit comes back. Won't they be traumatized? Because then they're all of a sudden going to figure out when that 3.5-year period hits.
How? The question is, how are they going to figure that? If the great deception is on them.
But if they become Christians.
If they become Christians.
That's what I'm saying.
If they're going to know. They're not going to be traumatized. They're going to be preaching like never before.
Okay. But they're going to kind of know a defined.
Oh, they're going to know.
Right.
Oh, they're going to know what's happening, but they're going to. It's like you and I right now with the economy. We know what the problem is. What are we doing about it? You see, I mean, the thing to do is to pull the taxes off the business. Just stop the taxes. Give the money back to the people who's going to invest it. But people are so smart, we're going to put more taxes on the business. We're going to make it rougher on the smaller businesses and then ask them to borrow money to pay their salaries. What small business is going to do that? Can anyone tell me what small business is going to borrow money to pay their salaries?
Exactly.
It's ignorant, folks. But you got 144,000 against the world. This is not just against the Jews. This is 144,000 against the world. And the majority of the world is blinded in hatred of God's way. These men are going to be hated like you and I have never seen hatred. And they're not going to be able to do anything to them. Because God's got a hedge around them. For 3.5 years.
So the 144,000 are only protected for 3.5 years?
At least. At least for 3.5 years. Because we know the two witnesses killed them. Once the more saved and people start witnessing, the 144,000 isn't as essential as it would be the first 3.5, would it? See? Yes, ma'am.
Does the Antichrist know what's going to happen to him or no?
Oh, yeah.
Why does he knows he's going to be destroyed, and why would he...
Power.
If he knows, then I don't, like,
if he's not going to be, if he's heard, right? If he's part of the world that's heard, caught up in the great deception, his biggest problem is to win, not to lose. Only hope he's got is to win. You know, if you back a cat in a corner, what's the only thing he's got to do?
Fight.
I may die, but I'm going to leave some scars on you. See, it's Satan. I mean, he is a perfect picture of Satan's boy. Just like Jesus Christ is a perfect picture of God. Antichrist is a perfect picture of Satan. Satan's going to pour all his power into Antichrist. You know what that would do to certain people? Some of your friends, if they just got all the power they ever wanted, you think they would lose their senses? They do that without having all the power in the world. Look, some Bud Light. They don't even have to have the whole thing. Man, you're talking about world church dominates. This is when the false prophet's going to rise up. First 3.5 years. But man, always remember, someone you can't trust an untrustworthy situation. I don't know if that make any sense to you people. But my boy is going to serve for a purpose. And then he is going to be backstabbed by Satan and the Antichrist when he gets done what needs to be done on the earth. World evangelization is going to take place and people are going to start getting martyred. 144,000 are going to be protected. God never said that those going to become Christians are.
Judge?
Yes, ma'am.
Is it only the Jews that are going to be able to be saved? No.
Everyone that hadn't heard will be saved.
Okay.
Yeah. It's gonna be an amazing time.
But the 144,000 are the people that are gonna be preaching.
It's gonna be more than that once they get people saved.
So it's
gonna be perpetuating. Yeah,
again.
Yeah, you're gonna build a church again. Yeah.
When is the mark gonna come on?
Mark of the beast? Probably when the Antichrist takes over.
Right.
Closer to the, no, probably in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
When Satan is thrown out of heaven?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Guys. God's wrath is going to turn loose and Satan's going to be mad. Can you imagine what this earth is going to be like? When you got the two great powers, well, really, the one power who think he's great and the power that really is. When Satan hit the ground in Revelation 11:12, he's going to hit the ground tearing it up. He's going to pour all his power on this boy. He's going to say, tear this place apart. I don't want anyone to survive. Because the more people that's alive during that time, it's more people that's going to have the opportunity to accept Christ. Michael is going to take God's power. He's going to slam my boy out of heaven. Do you understand that Satan's going to have the opportunity to go to heaven until the middle of Revelation? He's still going to have the power to go up and accuse you until the middle of Revelation. Do you think he's going to get a little uptight? Then right now he's lost his seat in heaven. Now he's going to lose the opportunity to go to heaven. He's going to be a little ticked. I feel like the clock is getting close.
Been looking at it. It looks to me like it's about 15 minutes past.
World judgment by war, pestilence. Now, guys, you got to understand something. This is not God's war and pestilence. This is man's war and pestilence. God's war and pestilence don't start until the third and a half year, when the seals are going to be broken. Bowls are going to be turned over and the trumpets are going to... Woo! Woo! Can you imagine being God and the worst you can think about doing to mankind, you're going to do? For 3.5 years. Just every aspect of the wrath of God is going to be turned loose. Yes, ma'am.
What about the people who are in hell now? Does the devil bring them back up to the
hell? People that's in hell now? No one's in hell now.
But I thought if you're not saved, you're
in Sheol, land of the dead. No one's in hell. It's uninhabited. And the first two people is going to go at the end of the tribulation. They'll be in there by themselves for 1,000 years. Only two. And then they're going to get company, but they won't know it. Any other questions before we get ready to close this exciting class?
So Satan's in heaven?
Where is that? Oh, Satan has a right to go to heaven right now. He goes up and he accuses every one of us. Look at that. Look at him. Is that past? Look. Jesus says, 1 John, Abba. In other words, Papa, I die for him. Satan, dismiss. That's the way it works. He still has the right to go to heaven right now. The accuser.
Plus he has all these little dominion demons that are out and about oppressing.
They're out and about and oppressing.
Because the devil can only be at one place at one time, but his demons are all over the place.
Right. He is not omnipresent. He can only be in one place at one time. He spent all his time in Israel, Washington, D.C. I'm telling you, folks, you got to think I'm kidding. Olympia is not important enough to say. There's three places that Satan spent his time really want to look at in the world, I believe. Center of all finances, which is New York. Center of all world power, which is D.C. And the center of God's plan, Jerusalem. That's why Satan will spend his individual time where he can be at one place at one time. One of those three places. Because that affects world issues, and that's how he stops God's plan. And if you don't believe me, go and sit around Israel for a while. Go and sit around New York for a while. And go and hang around Washington, D.C. If you want to see destruction, you want to see just pure evil and the misuse of power. Why do you think Osama attacked New York? Of all the places in the world. And he put a hedge on our stocks and made billions of dollars off of that attack. Osama. That's why the first thing they did went and locked up all investments. That boy still got millions and billions out of here, and we still got millions and billions locked up with his money.
So are they going to be a little blip on the screen like we are? I mean, right now it seems like the Islamic nations, Osama and the terrorists, is a big deal. But
it's a big deal because they got to be destroyed. You got to understand something, folks. In order for biblical truth to take place, Arabs are going to have an awesome big wipeout coming. They're going to be almost destroyed for one world government to take place.
This is pre-rapture, are you saying?
It's got to be set up for the rapture, yeah. Because there's no way in the world that the Antichrist is going to sit up and Israel is going to have all this peace. If the Arab still isn't got that kind of power.
Right. Oh, I
know.
Wouldn't let the temple go up.
Ain't no way in the world they can even start working on a temple.
Right. So who do you think God will use to get rid of the Muslims?
Oh yeah, I mean, when they move down, Arab nations, I mean, that's why they're so backless. God's always kept them backless. They're not a world power. They're going to be, I mean, folks, you talking about slaughter?
It takes 7 months to clean up your body.
Oh, you talking about slaughter.
That's
going to be set up, during, I mean, they got to for Israel have peace.
Ezekiel 38:39 could be a double
fulfillment. It is. I mean, there's no
yeah,
way.
Yeah, part of that at the Armageddon, yeah. at the end of the
battle
of the
rain,
too.
There's no way for it not to happen for a one world government to move. Well, yeah, I mean, of course, I mean, they're going to lose all their power when Israel becomes the great oil nation. Yeah. Why does the world even put up with the Arabs right now? Really?
Yeah.
Oil. If Israel becomes the oil nation, guess what's going to happen? They're going to be like dirt. The world's going to treat them like dirt.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Does the Bible say that'll happen before rapture?
It's probably going to happen, you know, probably pretty simultaneous. I think anyway, because everything's got to center around Israel. Right. I mean, what better way if the Antichrist is going to take over? That takes the desert blooms, which I think it means oil. And then he comes in and makes this pact with them.
Mm-hmm.
think about what's going on right now between Israel and the Arab nations that's coming right now.
Oh, with Iran and Israel.
I'm going to tell you right now, guys, you may wake up tomorrow and then be smoking in Iran.
Yeah. That's
I mean, one thing, United States, we play around, guys. But Israel is not going to play around with Iran. I'm going to tell you right now, they are not going to let them become an atomic nation. They fly backwards better than we do. And you got to, right out of Armageddon, they got all their armed military underground, right in the middle of the Armageddon Valley. And you don't see any jets down, and all of a sudden there's 10 coming out of the ground. They fly from underground. They land their jets and then take them underground, and they can take off underground. They are bad. And the Mossad, let me give you a little secret about the Mossad now. I mean, I hate to tell you folks, but Geneva principles don't work with the Mossad. Women, they will kill you. They need information, they will kill you. I want you to know, they are not politically correct.
No Miranda?
No Miranda rules. And if it means security of Israel, they will kill you. And the United States has lost that ability to protect our nation. So don't let the pastor get you down. But if we are weak, Israel will rise to the occasion and do what it takes to take care, because they know their history and they know their future, and they know the world centers around them, not the United States. Okay? We're the one that swallowed that lie. And if we bless Israel, we will be blessed. If we curse Israel, we will be cursed. Well, I mean, that's what covenant theology is all about. I mean, it's, and half these guys with covenant theology don't even know what it means. You cannot take Israel's place, and because God's he has to hold them in a separate position to go back to the 70th week of Daniel. If we become Israel, there's no need for the 70th week of Daniel. And that is not going to happen. The Bible will be fulfilled.
Everybody wants the promises of Israel, but we already get this through the drafting of the
text. Everybody wants the promise of Israel without being treated like Israel. That's what the problem is. I mean, there's nothing like God's people when God seems not to be protecting them. Amen. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the pleasure of being in your word. Thank you for tribulation, the study of it, not the living of it. We pray that you would help us as we walk through. And Lord, I am in no rush to teach this, because we need to understand it. We need to have a good picture of it. This is what it's all about. And Father, protect those that are here. Because every week, Satan's going to put something up to make it difficult to be here. He does not want us to know this. He does not want us to know these issues. He doesn't want us to know how your church works, how we are supposed to work together, and how we are to know so we can tell others. So protect those that want to come, because the enemy is going to do everything it can to keep them from coming. You can tell already. In your son's most holy, precious, glorious name, amen. Thanks so much, guys. Love you. Have a great week.